We're in a series called By Design, and it's a series that looks at how God has designed you. And it's all based on this massive concept of purpose. The big question that so many people wrestle with is, why am I here? What is this story all about? Why am I on planet Earth? And how do I find out how to fulfill my purpose? How do I find out how God designed me and what that means? And I told you last week, and we had a great service last week, I told you, you were made by design. Everybody say by design. Look at Jeremiah 29 and 11 on the screen. It's a popular scripture that it's used in a lot of different scenarios. Jeremiah is an Old Testament book. It's a prophet, and he's writing about Israel, but it's also writing about the future church. This particular passage, this scripture is talking about what was going on then, but it's also very easy to apply to us. He says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." That's going into this concept of being by design and on purpose, because he's saying, I've got a plan for you. I know what I want to do in your life. And last week we talked about the design or the function of the gospel, which is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it happened to Jesus literally. He intends for it to happen to us spiritually. And then last week we kind of shifted gears and I put the light on you, but not really, because it's not about us. And I just ask you, what is your design? What is your purpose? It's like the giant question. What's your function? What's your objective? What is your story, and where do you fit into the story? And what are you made of, and what were you made to do? And I'm just going to skip some stuff. I don't know how this is going to end up happening here today, because I had a whole lot of stuff that I was going to cover, but I'm not going to attempt to go in the direction that I thought we were going to go in. I'm going to settle in and hopefully follow after what God is doing right here today. But since the beginning of time, God has pulled us to Him. He's done so much to continually pull us back to Him. And over the last couple of since the beginning of the year, there's been several parts of several different sermons that have kind of highlighted the fact that we can do some temporal things on our own. We can accomplish some things on our own, but we'll never be able to accomplish anything of really any eternal significance but by the power of God. And someone said amen to that. And so the reason that God keeps pulling us back to Him is very simple. It's just because he loves us. And I say that a lot here, but I'll probably get to it here again in a minute, but you have a God, Gene, that not only loves you, but he likes you. You see what I'm saying? He wants to be with you. Blake, the things that he does is not out of obligation. It's not out of someone forcing him to do this. He just simply loves you and he likes you, and he wants you to find your purpose in him. He's got these plans for you. He's got this design for you. The problem is this, though. We kind of get skeptical when we talk about finding God's plan and God's design for our life, because I'm just going to be frank with you. The problem is some of us trust us more than we trust God. I'm going to be frank. If you want to find your design and your purpose, you're going to have to look in the direction of God Almighty. You can do some things for yourself, but you'll never be able to do anything on any eternal landscape or any eternal value but by the power of God Almighty. But we get scared whenever we talk about finding God's will for our life, our calling. What's my calling and my design and my purpose? We get a little fearful of all of that. And this is the reason why. The idea of finding God's call makes us a little bit nervous, because Satan tricks us into fearing the worst. Satan wants to get all of us bugged out about our design and our purpose in life. So he plants thoughts in our heads like this: be afraid, be very, very afraid, because God is about to ask you to do something completely freakish and scary. Or be afraid, be very, very afraid because God is about to ask you to do something that you'll never be able to do and you're so going to fail. And we get all wigged out and we get all freaked out and so we start hiding out. But the Bible speaks of God's will, God's purpose, God's design for our life as being a pleasant place, a perfect place, some place that you don't need to fear. Some place that you can find meaning in your life. And as I said last week, God is for you, man. God is with you. God wants to bring you to that place of you finding your groove in Him, finding your traction in Him, finding your way in Him so that His will could be advanced through you. It's the meaning of life. It's this grand, grand story. Listen to this example. Famed Jewish psychiatrist Viktor Frankl was a rare survival among millions of Jews rounded up and forced into the concentration camps in Nazi Germany. At the time of his capture, his life's work lay printed on the pages of a manuscript he was drafting on, get this, the importance of finding ultimate meaning in life. Carefully sewn into the lining of his coat, he helped to smuggle it beyond the gates where he could continue working and developing these concepts, even if secretly. Forced upon arrival to surrender his clothing, he feared that all meaning had been ripped from his life. Ever felt like that? Even as this garment had been pulled away from him, he thought that all meaning had been pulled away from him. Days later, he was given a new wardrobe, and he says it was the worn-out rags of an inmate who had recently been sent to the gas chambers. Later, he recounted finding, quote, in the pocket of a newly acquired outfit, a single page torn out of the Hebrew prayer book, which contains the main Jewish prayer called the Shema. It says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. Love the Lord with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might. Frankl asked himself, how should I have interpreted such coincidence other than as a challenge to live my thoughts instead of merely putting them on paper? Listen, with all of Frankl's words from his manuscript stripped away from him, God replaced them with his own words. He replaced Frankl's purposes for his own purposes. It was at that point in Victor's life that he fulfilled and found this new purpose and meaning in his book, Man's Search for Meaning. He wrote this, it's on the screen. There is nothing in the world that would be so effective, that would so effectively help one to survive even the worst conditions as the knowledge that there is a meaning in one's life. Listen, listen, listen. He who has a why to live can bear almost any how to live. When you find that place, when you find that, if I can call it a sweet spot, if you can find that place in his divine purpose for you, where you know that you are making a difference and you know that you are making some grounds, it doesn't matter how many things are hitting you from the side and it doesn't matter how heavy your feet get, you get to just, you keep on marching because you know that you're going in the direction that you're supposed to be going. Folks, your life has meaning. Someone say amen to that. Keep pushing through all of it and find it. Your life has purpose. Keep pushing through it and fulfill it. No matter what you're going through, keep going. You were created by design and on purpose, and somebody this morning needs to believe that and embrace that. Clap your hands with me and say amen. Amen. Last week, we talked about that life was primarily designed to experience this lifestyle of worship. Paul said, whatever you do, whether you're sleeping or eating or going to work or walking around, whatever you do, place it before God as an offering. So you want to know how to live a lifestyle of worship is every single thing that you do, number one, do something that would be pleasing to the Lord, but do it as unto the Lord. Everything that you do, whether it be hanging wallpaper, whether it be a bank teller, whatever it is you do, do it as unto the Lord and do it as an offering to the Lord. From the very beginning of time, we were called to worship. But listen, lifestyle worship leads to something else. Lifestyle worship leads to something wonderful. And I was going to present two things to you here today, but I'm just going to reduce it down to one. And hopefully we can make some sense. So I'm going to kind of introduce this and then I'm going to make it really clear. But let's refresh our minds and our hearts with Jeremiah's ordained words. Look again at Jeremiah 29 and 11. He says, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. The Message paraphrase goes like this. I know what I'm doing. God's saying, I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you. Plans not to abandon you. Plans to give you the future that you hope for. The point is very clear. He has a plan for your life, plans to prosper you, plans to protect you, plans to give you hope in a future that will bring his intended future into your present. He made you by design, on purpose, for a purpose. And we like preaching like that. We like hearing that. That's good stuff. It's encouraging. We enjoy hearing that as we should. It's biblical and it fires us up. But listen, if you take one scripture, you have to take them all. You have to take this. If you're gonna like hang your hat right there, then you got to hang your hat from cover to cover. You got to take the thing in context. You got to take God's word in the fullness of what it is. So listen to this context that Jeremiah is writing from. In 587 BC, God allowed the Israelites to be taken into captivity again. One time they went into Egypt and they were in slavery. Now they were going into forced exile into Babylon. So the setting of this scripture is not some party in paradise. This is not a great setting. So you have to get this. You have to understand this. God's chosen people were taken from their home. God's chosen people were taken from their comfort zone and placed into captivity. That's the backdrop that this is being written in. So we like verse 11. That's a party, man. It's like cotton candy times infinity. But look at that. If you're going to take verse 11, you also have to take verse 10. Look at verse 10. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. The purpose verse is preceded by a promise verse, but it's not necessarily a good promise. He said, you're going to be in captivity for 70 years. And you're like, okay, wait a minute, time out. I don't necessarily like that plan. I don't think that sounds good. I like the other verse. Let's like put the spotlight on that one because that was like, woo-hoo-hoo, that's a party. But this one, you're going to take me out of your favor. Oh, my Lord, I hope you get this. You're going to take me out of your provision. You're going to take me out of your blessings. You're going to allow me to be removed from that, and you're going to put me into captivity for 70 years. He's like, yeah. Because Israel had sinned against God and exile was their punishment. So if you're going to take verse 11, you got to take 10. If you're going to take 10 and 11, then you also have to take Jeremiah 12 and 13 on the screen. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. He was saying, because things are not going to be going right in your life, there's going to come a day when you're going to call on me. When you realize your sin, you're going to experience this repentance factor. Once you realize that you cannot do this alone, you're going to come running back to me. You're going to pray to me. And here's the good news. I'm going to be there for you. I'm going to listen to you. You will seek me and you will find me. You will seek me with all of your heart. What you have to see there is the larger purpose that is being fulfilled. You have to see that he's drawing mankind back to him. And that's the story, man. That's what gets me so fired up. What you have to get is that in verse 11, it sounds like a cotton candy parade. And we love a cotton candy parade. We love to say, woohoo, he's got a plan for me. This is awesome. Life is good. I've got at least 42 cents in my bank account, which is not in the negative. And that's awesome. And things are good. And all of this stuff is just like, yes, 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 yes. But listen, if you're going to take verse 11, you have to take the whole context. Because what you have to realize is verse 11 is wrapped by this forced exile. Verse 11 is preceded by verse 10 when it's talking about 70, a promise of 70 years of captivity. What you have to realize that verse 12 and 13 speak about Israel as well as us turning from sin to repentance. What you must see is that purpose is part of a larger ultimate purpose. Listen to me. Drawing all the way back to Genesis, we read that God created us to be with us, to dwell with us, to interact with us. Essentially, he wanted community with us. I pray that you understand the words that are coming out of right here. He created you to be with you. He formed you to have community with you. And we blew it. We messed it up. We allowed sin to come in and it severed that situation. And for the next few thousand years, God is pulling mankind back to him. He's pulling all mankind back to him for one original reason. Relationship. Relationship. God said, I know what I'm doing. Relationship. I have it all planned out. I want you in a relationship. I have plans to take care of you because we're in a relationship. I will not abandon you because we're in a relationship. I have plans to give you the future that you hope for because we have a relationship. What I'm saying is you were designed for him. You were designed for relationship with him. It's why you were put on planet Earth. Relationship is what you should pick up in those verses of Jeremiah, because listen, true relationship is not based on cotton candy and Skittles all the time. True relationship weathers the storm. True relationship doesn't walk out when things are not in a state of perfection. You were made to be in relationship and you were made to stay in relationship. You were designed to worship him in the good times and in the bad. That's relationship, and that's what you were designed for. Anyone can celebrate you with you whenever the sun is shining, but you need someone to stick with you whenever the sin is raining. Ladies and gentlemen, he's not going to give up on you. Don't even think about giving up on him. You were made for relationships, so stick with him. Stick with him. I wrote a book a few years ago. It's called 31 and Others, and I'm skipping half of my notes, so I'm almost done. Got an entire point that was just, it was good, if you don't mind me saying. We'll get to it later. Boy, that sounds like Rex Johnson if there ever did. Anyway, let me keep going. Where was I? I get to bragging and I lose my, okay, God, yes, book, okay. I wrote a book a few years ago called 31 and Others. And I present 31 scriptures that deal with one another. Love one another, don't judge one another, encourage one another, et cetera, et cetera. I would strongly encourage you to read it. If you want to go to heaven, you know, it's just eternity. It's your call, but you know, whatever you want to do. No pressure. But if I write another book, I don't know yet when that's going to be because of school and everything else that's going on right now in my life, but I'm almost positive that I've got the next chapter, the next book. And I think I'm going to call it Stubborn Love. And here's the reason. Because Gareth, he loves us so much that he's either insane or it's true love. You read through the Old Testament. You read through how the children of Israel would be in relationship and then they would step back out and they would take on idolatry and they would take on this and they would take on, and then they would come back in and say, yeah, we're sorry, let's get back in, let's go. And then they would step back out and they would walk into this land and they would forget the God that had brought them there and they would get involved in all this stuff. And it was this in and out and in and out and close and far and close and far. And God never stopped reaching for them. In fact, he said, you know what? I want to send my son. I'm going to strap on flesh and be this magnificent manifestation that goes down there and is the ultimate sacrifice for all of humanity because I want to pull everybody into my heart. And when he did that, he was looking at you. And he was looking at you. 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 And he knew that you would be in and out and hot and cold and close and near and far and all over. And he just looked at you and said, I think that they're worth it. Because not only does he love you, he likes you. And he wants to be with you. He wants to spend time with you. And so I've come today to tell you that you were created for relationship. You were designed to be in a relationship with him. That's what lifestyle worship does. That's why we started with worship, because a lifestyle of worship brings you into this place to where if you're with him every day, then you have a relationship with him every day. It can't be hot for him one day and cold for 3 or 4 or 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 or 2 weeks or 10 weeks. And then walking with him every day. Walking with him every day. It's called a relationship. Come here, Jane. It's holding on to him so tight that you're not going to let anything, you're not going to let any situation that may cause you to stumble, you're not going to allow anything to drag you away from being connected with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so everywhere that you go, every step that you take, you are with him and he is with you. And you are in a relationship that is so close, that is so defining, that it defines your entire life. And then this lifestyle of worship, because you're with him, leads to this concept of you were born to be with him. You were born to be with him. He created you. We talked about this last week, but he formed you, man. He knows how many hairs are on your head, or if there are any on your head. He knows the eye color, and he made the rounding of your eyes. He made your earlobes to be funny looking or not funny looking. He made all of this out of love, man, out of just love that is just so huge and so vast that I don't know if we'll ever be able to really comprehend it and ever be able to properly explain it. He loves us so much. He loves us so much. That's page 12, and I had 21. But that's what you do whenever he moves in and begins to change things. That's what you do whenever you begin to exalt him and he says, okay, I'm going to go down there and be exalted. That's what happens whenever you step into this realm of worship and he says, okay, I'm going to meet you there right now. And he begins to do so. So let's do this. Let's stand. Musicians, come up here. I'm going to throw you a curveball. Y'all sing something. And we can sing whatever y'all want to. We can go back into I Exalt Thee. It matters not what we do. It matters not what happens here. Let me just say this really quick. I was going to talk to you also about we were created for relationship with God, but also relationship with each other. Let me just tell you real quick. We need each other. You need everybody in this room, and everybody in this room needs you. Okay? Let me just... You were not here today by accident. This is no mistake that you are here checking out Acacia Church or being here again if this is your home. It was all orchestrated for you to be here, right now in this moment so that you could understand that you were designed to be with him. Okay, we've talked about this before, but let's go back like 3 years, 4 years. God is just starting to work on me and my family over here in Austin, Texas. And Austin is just great. If you've never been to Austin, man, it's like heaven. It's amazing in every way. And things were okay for us. Things were going good, but he started to just kind of work in our heart, and he started trying to just, okay, I've got a plan for you. I've got a design for you. And then he says, how about Baton Rouge? And I was like, wow. And then let's not fast forward. That's me over there on that part of the chessboard. And then here, let me just pick on Brad Parker. 4 years ago, I did not know Brad Parker. 4 years ago, I had no idea who Tiffany was. 4 years ago, I had no idea who Blake was. And now they sit right there on the second row. And go back 4 years. Where were they 4 years ago? I don't know where they were 4 years ago, but God knew. And God starts arranging some things on the chessboard over here in Austin. And he starts arranging some things over here. And Blake and Tiffany start flirting with each other. And then they get married. And then Brad is their friend. And he comes in. And so here's Brad and Tiffany. And everybody is just this happy little, okay, we're friends. And it's woohoo, it's cool. And then all of this stuff. Now here we are in 2013 for right here, right now, in this moment. He knew you would be here, right now, today. He knew that I would get to page 12 of 21 and would have to call it quits. It's all on purpose. It's all on design. He knew the struggles that you would go through over the last couple of months to get here. He knew the struggles you would go through the last couple of years to get right here. He knew that you would be here in this moment and that he would be able to speak to you and he would be able to move in and he would be able to just say, hold on, you were made for relationship. Years ago, he's moving the pieces on the chessboard over here. Years ago, he's moving the pieces on the chessboard over here. I don't know where Robin was 4 years ago. I don't know where she was 2 years ago. But now she is right here. She's holding a microphone and she is helping lead us into the presence of God. And it was all on purpose. It was all on design. It was all part of the plan. And whenever you realize that you can embrace that, man, it gives you such a realm of confidence that when things come up and they punch you in the side of the face, because they will punch you in the side of the face. When finances hit you and sickness hits you and life situations just hit you from all sorts, but you just keep on walking because you're hand in hand with the master. You're hand in hand with the creator, the one who called all of this into existence. And when you're with him, you are going to be okay because he's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. And we're always going to worship him. We're always going to exalt him. We're always going to praise him because we're in relationship. So before we sing, I want you to understand this last thing. I've already said it a couple of times. He loves you. But he likes you. Everybody's got that weird uncle at Christmas that nobody really wants to go and sit by that guy. You have to love him because he's part of the family, but he's just a shade different from the rest of you. You have to love him, but you don't necessarily have to like him. You've got that coworker that's about this far from just driving you off of the edge. The Bible commands you to love her, so you can't just go up and just club them in the head. But you don't necessarily have to like them. God loves you. But he likes you. What do you do with someone when you like them? You spend time with them. You enjoy spending time with them. And so anytime you and him start doing your thing, start just doing your business, he's like, yes! And he's right down there with you. Because you were designed for this. This is your purpose, man. This is what it's all about. Worshiping him in the confines of a wonderful relationship. Lord, I pray that what I've tried to just kind of patch together here has made some kind of sense. It doesn't matter though, Lord, because you're making sense. You've designed this day. You've purposed this day. You've orchestrated this day. And so I commit it all into your hands. I commit the effectiveness into your hands. I commit the results of this day into your hands. The moment of worship that we have experienced before and that we're about to experience again, Lord, I pray that this would just define us and lead us into a deeper walk with you.